fourth chapter. Starting with the first verse. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Right. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which ye have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. The key verse, little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I want to talk from the subject, maximum potential. All right. Maximum potential. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, that speaks to my soul. To know that I'm greater than the world. Right. Did you hear what I just said?
Well, right.
I'm greater than what's in the world. The problem is we don't believe how great we are. And when you have a problem with believing your greatness, you end up with mediocrity. In other words, you don't strive to be what God called you to be. You struggle because you don't believe that you're greater than what's in the world. Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And it didn't say I could do some things. It didn't say I could do a few things. You have to qualify the word all. And all means all, and that's all that all means.
All right.
There is no shortchanging in that word. And so if I am greater than the world, and I can do all things, then should not we reach our maximum potential while we're here?
All right.
A lot of times you hear me say that my purpose is bigger than my circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unless you buy into that, unless you believe that, then your circumstances are bigger than your purpose. And you can tell this by the way that we live our lives. If we live our lives with mediocrity, we don't understand what purpose truly is. Amen. The Bible says, when you look at this, it says that do not believe every spirit, but yet test the spirit to see whether they are from God. We jump in with folks, with spirits that ain't from God. See, when you hang around folks that are negative, you hang around folks with a ceiling, then you are not testing the spirit, because there's no such thing as a godly spirit that will set a limit on you. Huh? God's limit is ruthless. In other words, there's nothing that can contain the Spirit of God. He says that the one who is in me is greater than the whole world, so why do I act like I'm of this world?
All right.
You have ceilings on houses. Amen.
Amen.
Reverend Wilford was just here, and he preached what I call my rooftop theology sermon, where they had to go through the roof to get down to see Jesus.
Right.
In other words, they realized that they were greater than the roof. Because the roof is what? Of this world. See, when you start coming into your own, there is no such thing as a wall that can stop you. There is no such thing as barriers that can hold you back. See, our biggest problem is our own what? Self. See, the problem with our community is that we don't shoot for more. We shoot for just enough. See, I like my 9 to 5. It may not be all that I want, but at least it keeps me. See, we like to be kept. We like to be comfortable. Even at the point of being uncomfortable, it's okay because we're kept. Folks don't want to push the envelope. They don't want to dig deep with inside themselves to see where their true maximum potential lies. Because to look deep within, you are going to realize that you are more than what you become.
Yes, sir.
I can't get my wife's sermon out of my head because it's so very true that we are more than what we've become.
Yes, sir.
I have a woman who's homesick. But she's not worried about sickness. She's worried about being able to bless God this week because he blessed her. And she just wants you to know that if you stop by, even though I'm sick, I can get up to make sure I fulfill my commitment to God. You got folks sitting right here now who won't feel a commitment. But her mentality is not a ceiling mentality. It's one that says that the one that's in me is greater than what? My sickness. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, to reach our maximum potential, we have to beware where God wants us to be.
All right.
In the right place at the right time. In other words, that we're going to have to shake ourselves up sometimes when we don't feel like doing stuff, when we don't want to no part of this or no part of that. But when the Spirit moves,
all right,
you got to listen. Mm. Amen?
Amen?
If the Spirit is telling you that there is something that needs to be done, and you argue back and forth with the Spirit, and I know you know what I'm talking about. Because if one thing we know in our community is how to fight back, we know how to argue. Even with God, the Almighty, we will go against him because it's not what we want right now. Let me just take my time because, you know, God, you don't really need me for that situation. You know, somebody else will come along and make that thing work, you know. So if you don't mind, I'm going to sit this one out. And then we get a call and find out something went down.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason it went down because it was one vote shy of going down. But because you failed to respond to God, your maximum potential was not reached. Instead, somebody lost out on what? A blessing. Look at this. Luke 2:41. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Down to 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's house?" Maximum potential. In other words, if you ever going to be something, You got to be where God wants you to be. When folks don't know where you are, because what he was saying is that you should have known where I was. Because I'm going to be in the right place where God wants me to be so that I can maximize my potential. See, even at a young, early age, you got to know that you belong only where God wants you to be. We are in places that cannot maximize who we are. We hang with folks that bring us down. And yet, we can't seem to get rid of that. And then we go to God and say, God, why am I not more than what I am? And God is saying quite simply, because you are not being about your Father's business. See, if you're going to be in the business, be in Daddy's business.
Yes, sir.
Because see, his business will flourish, yours will flounder. Amen. He said, you don't need to look for me. See, when you want to come find me, if I'm where God wants me to be, it's not a search.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing the thing that's going to make me who I am in God. You don't have to look for me on Sunday morning. I tell you where I'm at. I'm going to be somewhere in God's house getting some instruction so I can face a hellish week.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to wonder where I am on Wednesday night between 6 and 8 o'clock, because somewhere in time, God etched out a space where folks could come to a place and ask some questions and get some understanding about how to reach their maximum potential. You don't have to worry, because I'm about my Father's business. He that is in me is greater than the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Don't be worried about where I am. I'm where my Father said I should be.
Yes, sir.
I'm not interested in mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it all my life.
Yes, sir.
I've let the ceiling stop me.
Yeah.
It's like a fly trying to get out of a lamp. I just keep hitting the wall, hitting the wall, and hitting the wall until eventually I'm dead. God has removed the wall. He says, you are not of this world. I can show you things that you'll do that's greater than what you see right now.
All right.
But you got to understand who you are in me. We raise our children with failure in mind. We do. I sit there and I have 3 boys. And I do my best, me and my wife, to make sure that they are trying to reach their maximum potential. And I don't fight against that ceiling of greatness. I fight against the ceiling of mediocrity. They see what everybody else is doing. Everybody else just getting by. A C is okay. It reminds me of Bill Cosby in his show when Theo was talking about, Dad, you know, maybe I'm not going to be as great as you think I'm going to be. Maybe, Dad, I'm just a C student. Maybe I won't amount to all this and stuff that you want me out of. But Dad, they just love me for who I am. Bill Cosby looked at him and said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. In other words, I'm not about to let you put a ceiling on how great thou art.
All right.
And so when we struggle with our children doing well in school, and we don't admonish that, and yet we celebrate it by giving them whatever they want when they haven't earned or deserved a thing, you are teaching them about mediocrity. There is no way in the world, and don't get mad at them because they're not maximizing their potential, because you are teaching them to be limitful. In other words, you've only given them, well, here, I know you got a C and you can do better, but here's your own cell phone. Here's your own iPod. You know, here's your little designer clothes.
Yeah.
Here are the tennis shoes that you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe next time you'll get a B or something to that effect.
Right.
Here's your personal computer. Here's your internet access with no parental guide. You can hang whatever, whoever you want to. I don't have to know who your friends are. We're buds in this thing. We're friends. I don't consider me as dad. Call me by my first name. You are limiting the ability of your children if you don't make them push for greatness. And you can't blame the school. You got to go back to home because the school is only giving what you're allowing them to give. My son is acting up in school, or the school ain't doing what they supposed to be doing. And you come looking for me in my house. Why are you looking over there when my problem is over there? Did you not know that I'd be about my father's business? My business is going to be inside that school, making sure the stuff gets straightened out so that, number one, he's not mediocre, and number two, they step their game up to make sure he has greatness in front of him. I got to be about what? My father's business. Don't look for me somewhere that has no relevance. Because, see, when you reach for mediocrity, we love non-relevant places. Why are you over in the bar? Because a bar is mediocre. Why are you trying to find solace in a bottle and some kind of liquor? Because I don't strive for greatness. I just want to be getting by. Sometime Jack or Johnny will help me out. In order to be great, I would have to stay, because you got to understand that Jack and Johnny will alter your mindset, not from greatness, but to mediocrity. Well, you can't do nothing when you ain't sober. Well, you can't even think straight. Matter of fact, when folks get drunk, they do dumb things like drive. Well, and then wonder why they got pulled over. Well, that's because they're shooting for what? Mediocrity. Maximize your potential. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from the bar. We get so hyped up for mediocrity. Matter of fact, we plan for mediocrity. Amen. Now, we come to church on Sunday. Don't get me wrong. But that's the only day we plan for greatness. Because the minute the 1 o'clock bell rings, something about stupid just sinks back in. And we focus back on the mediocrity. All right. Ah, woe is me. I got to do this. I got to do that. But come Wednesday, so many. You got Monday, mediocre. Tuesday. Then Wednesday is the super holiday for mediocrity. Wow. Because that's when we plan for Friday's mediocrity. Wow. I can't wait till Friday payday. Go to the club. Got to get my stuff together so we can go hang out and party and stuff like that. Ain't nothing about the club, the party, and the drink going to ever make you great. Well. You ever say don't get high off your own supply? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all are probably still living in that. But the reason is, if you get high off your own stuff, you ain't worth nothing. People find it in drugs, thinking, well, let me go to drugs. Let me get an escape from reality. That's mediocrity. Because greatness says, I'm ready to face the troubles. I'm ready to face the issues. I'm ready to face the problems so I can come through it. Notice that it's one thing about being on this side of the wall. But if you're hanging and you endure long enough to get to the other side of the wall, you realize that there was a way to push through the wall. But that's only when you're seeking out after greatness. Greatness says to get back up. Greatness says to keep pushing. Greatness says, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be so that God can bless me. And when he blessed me, he's able to do what? Bless others. The problem is, we got to stop thinking like we are nobody. I know it because I see it when we walk through those doors. It just looked like I'm a barrel of nothing. Folk don't come in with a pep in their step and a smile and an engaged and ready to face the day. They don't bring the spirit in with them. They try to find it when they get here. But the Bible says you need to bring it already in. This is God's house. Come with expectation. Come because I want more than what I already have. I got the Holy Ghost, but now I want to turn it up a little bit. I want to maximize my potential in Christ. The Bible don't tell me things that I'm better than just so I can fade away and die. It ain't about all that. It ain't about living and dying and that's it. It's about what you get out of life that God has blessed you with. It's about going through the ceiling and attaining heights that only God could get you to. The Bible says that after he had told them that you know where I'll be, it said Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine human favor. So because he was where he was supposed to be, he could have been somewhere else sitting out in the playground playing around. But he said, no, that ain't where I belong. Yes, sir. There's something about God's house. Yeah. And at 12 years old, he was coming into his own because from 11 to 10, he was a kid. Yeah. But at that point, the Bible says now it began to stir up in him. See, we don't stir up the stuff in our kids. You know, we don't put the books in front of their faces. We put the television in front of their faces. We don't spend the time that they used to with us and go outside and hit the playground and do these kind of things. Now we want someone else to watch our children while we do the same thing of mediocrity. Because in order to be great, you have to work at it. You got to push yourselves. You got to come outside of yourselves. And you got to believe that the one in you is greater than the world. Greater than the one who's in the world. And so therefore, there's nothing that can truly stop me but myself. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's my workout right there. I know that Christ is in my life. I know that he's a part of me. So therefore, I can't wake up like the world wakes up and think, I'm just going to get by today. I'm just going to barely make it today. No, because that's already what? A defeated attitude. That's not who Christ called us to be. We get to that point where, you know, hey, it's cool just to be cool, dog. No, it's not. That's the world saying, hey, just stay right where you are. You good. You barely making it, but hey, you okay. You don't take a drink. Go to the car. Go to the party. Do this, do that. Go hang out with that woman. You know she ain't your wife. But it's cool, dude. It's cool. That's the hang. Because you still, hey, I got somebody, man. I ain't by myself. Same thing for that woman. Hey, go get that man. I know he ain't yours, but go get him. Mediocrity. Why don't you want somebody else's? When I was growing up, people said, we don't want no sloppy seconds. Hell no. I don't want to drink out your soda can. Can I get a fresh soda can? I don't know what you done put up in that can. But that's greatness versus mediocrity. He said, yeah, come on, I'll share that with you. Whatever you got is good for me. Yeah. We have to stop that. Christ didn't die for that. He didn't tell us that we were great just so that we could be nothing. In your households, in your lifestyles, look at how you're living. Look at what you're doing. Do you see greatness or mediocrity? Do you show success or failure? Are you barely making it or are you shooting through the roof? Look at your life and begin to ask the real questions. I want to be what God has called me to be, but that requires me to die to self, get outside of myself, and become more than what I've become. There are folks out here with potentials to be great business people, great store owners, great carpenters, great whatever. But they are afraid, they are scared, because all their life they told them it's too much for you. You got to pay taxes. You got to do this. You got to do that. Yeah, ain't nothing but Satan saying no. You're not strong. Christ don't strengthen you. And you nowhere where your father told you to be. You somewhere else. That's why they got problems finding us. Only you know the truth. Only you know the answers. Because as much as folks like to say they can see in your life, they can't see squat. They can guess. They can speculate. You can co-sign on it and say, yeah, you're right. But the bottom line is Christ will speak to you. And he'll tell you what you're doing wrong. The question is, will you face up to what you're doing wrong?
Right.
See, we become people of limits because our boundaries are set so low. I look at people who reach maximum potential. And you say, well, what's the gauge of me reaching that potential? Well, let me tell you what it ain't. It ain't what the world say it is.
All right.
It ain't being all that you can be on this side.
Well.
Your greatness may be in small things, like bringing a soul to Christ. You think it's no big deal, but I got 1,000 angels to tell you otherwise.
Yes.
Because every time a child of God gives his life, there's a host of angels that are standing and applauding because another one just got snatched from Satan's grasp. You say, well, I don't have a son that's famous at anything. Is he in jail? Is he making a good living? Then you have a successful child. See, we're so twisted on what the world says is important that we even knock down the little things that we've done that were great. Because it don't fit into what the world says is great. You might have a son who's a B student, but is he doing his best? And have you been on top of him and making sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do? Because sometimes that B may be his best. But you won't know unless you put in the effort to make sure you've got everything out of that onion that you could get.
Well.
To make sure they're pushing themselves. Because as long as you push, see, here's the thing, and I'm at fault. A lot of times, your child's behavior to push comes from you.
Well.
And if you ain't never pushed,
well.
And you're not pushing,
well.
You can't expect them to push. At some point, you got to shake up the cycle and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I know I didn't push. And my son, he don't like me now because I didn't push. He probably said, I wish you had a push. It'd been a little easier on me. But the problem is because I lived so long in mediocrity, I don't want my children living the same way.
Well,
isn't that next generation supposed to be better than what you were?
Well,
you know where you failed. You know where you didn't make it. So you want to make sure they get above that hurdle. If you're sitting there and putting them up under the same hurdle that you're putting them in, man, you're in the wrong place.
Well.
And I feel sorry for your child. So, yeah, my son, he's mad right now, but he's going to love it one day.
Yes,
when he look back and see I can do all these things, not because of my daddy, but because of Christ,
right,
who strengthened my daddy, who also strengthens me, because my daddy was in the right place. You ain't got to worry about me in no club nowhere. You can find me at my house with my wife and my kids, making sure I'm where I'm supposed to be to do what I got to do to make sure they reach their maximum potential. Daddy is being more than saying, I got some kids all around town. Now, daddy is saying, I'm right where I'm supposed to be because that's what God called me to do. Moses reached maximum potential.
Yeah.
But he reached it through patience.
Right.
It took him 80 years before God gave him the rain to come get his people out of there. See, some folk don't have the patience to reach maximum potential. Everybody want it overnight, but yet can't nobody handle it in a second. I want it now, Lord. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Give it to him. Oh, Lord, I don't need this right now. It takes patience to become great. Abraham, he reached maximum potential through obedience and faith. Obedience to follow God. Said, I need you to pack your bags and go. Don't matter where you're going, just go. And if you go, I'll make you the father of many nations. So he had the obedience to follow God and the faith to hold on until what? God came through. Some of us, we don't have that obedience. We don't have the faith to say, look, I know that I'm greater than he that's in the world. I know I can do all things through Christ. But Lord, can you get it to me a little bit quicker? First, be obedient. Do the things he tells you to do to become great. And then if you do the things, have the faith that the greatness will come because you do what he asked you to do. Joseph. Oh, how in the world did Joseph reach maximum potential? How did Joseph become second in command of Egypt? Because Joseph learned how to do what? Endure. Sometimes you got to endure some struggles. You got to endure some pain. You got to endure some hardship to get to where you're trying to go. You can't let everything bring you down. That's why I say my purpose is bigger than my circumstances. If I focus on my purpose, I don't die in my circumstances.